This is Lou Caraboli. Elizabeth Cubitt Caraboli and I are bringing you the cutting-edge news program, The Divided Kingdom. We can be heard in several venues. Check program listings at WWCR.com, LWRN.net, and KSTARTalkRadio.com. We can also be heard on Global Star Radio. Thanks go to a few kind people in our audience responding to Elizabeth's request for people to perhaps send $20. We heard from Philadelphia, West Virginia, and Missouri. One person's great letter included the assertion that Dr. Anthony Fauci had a Jesuit education. Interesting. An interesting note as we watched the Fauci email leak takedown. But now we hear nothing of Bill Gates in Event 201 and the October 2019 Wuhan global pandemic drill. Will Fauci be the lesser scapegoat? Though guilty of funneling NIH money to the Wuhan Institute for Virology in order to take the spotlight off Bill Gates and other globalists. It's June 10th, 2021, and the war is intensifying. If all of us do not speak up and stand against widespread police state, many of us may wake up and find ourselves in this man's shoes.
Yes, Lou, and this is Elizabeth speaking. Michigan man files lawsuit for wrongful arrest based on facial recognition technology. This was from Natural News, written by Ramon Tomey, Monday, May 10th, 2021. A resident of Farmington Hills, Michigan, filed a federal lawsuit after he was arrested based on facial recognition technology. Attorneys representing Robert Williams filed the suit on April 13th in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan. The 75-page lawsuit seeks an undisclosed amount in damages for, quote, the grave harm caused by the misuse of and reliance upon facial recognition technology, end of quote. Williams' 2020 arrest stemmed from an October 2018 theft at a Shinola store where five watches worth about $4,000 were stolen. The theft was captured on video, and a loss prevention officer reviewed footage from the store. The videos were later sent to law enforcement, who then ran the footage through facial recognition software. The software then returned a hit for the Farmington Hills resident. According to the lawsuit, Williams was arrested, quote, without explanation, on his front lawn in plain daylight in front of his wife and children, humiliated and jailed in a dirty, overcrowded cell for approximately 30 hours where he had to sleep on bare concrete. It added that he endured the ordeal all for no reason other than being someone a computer thought looked like a shoplifter. Williams himself seconded the harrowing experience he went through. Quote, I came home from work and was arrested in my driveway in front of my wife and daughters, who watched in tears because a computer made an error, he said. The wrongfully arrested man continued. This never should have happened, and I want to make sure that this painful experience never happens to anyone else. An April 13th press release by the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, said that Williams' arrest was the first case of wrongful arrest because of facial recognition technology. Back in June 2020, the civil rights nonprofit wrote a letter of complaint to Detroit law enforcement regarding Williams' arrest. The letter penned by ACLU of Michigan senior staff attorney Phil Mayer demanded that the police department make a public apology for the arrest, Williams' police and state records be expunged, and that the department immediately cease the use of facial recognition technology. So that's what happened to the one man.
And now, Elizabeth, this next story is even more alarming. The name of our program tonight is Police State and Pushback. And this police state is police state personified at the highest elite military level. From naturalnews.com, we have this headline. Students at West Point threatened with solitary confinement, separation from academy for refusing risky COVID vaccinations. By Ethan Huff, Saturday, June 5th, 2021. The United States Military Academy at West Point is attempting to force all cadets to get vaccinated but the Wuhan coronavirus by threatening them with solitary confinement, separation from the academy, and no more essential training. Senior military officers at the institution are reportedly demanding the students take the experimental injections on command or else be treated like an enemy in war. At first, more than 700 cadets resisted, but heavy pressure has reduced that number to less than 100. The parents of these few remaining resistors fear that their children are going to be abused by their commanding officers for saying no to the jab, so many of them are banding together and hiring legal counsel to protect their kids from this military-led assault on bodily autonomy. There are roughly 5,000 official cases of people in the United States dying from Chinese virus injections. Tens of thousands more have become permanently injured. None of this matters to West Point, though, which is enforcing medical fascism to the extreme. Any cadet who refuses to reprogram his or her DNA with an injection for Chinese germs is being forced to wear a mask at all times as punishment, which violates HIPAA provisions for medical privacy. Not only do Wuhan flu shots provide zero protection against infection, as well as spread, but young people of the kind that are enrolled at West Point also have a 0% chance of dying from COVID in the first place. None of this is about safety or saving lives. In other words, it is all about control, and now our own military is doing the controlling by imposing tyranny and persecution against those who refuse to take this Mark of the Beast medical intervention on command. The United States is no longer the land of the free, and in its current state is certainly nothing to be proud of or celebrate. Anyone who even agrees to enroll in the military at all anymore must have some kind of death wish, because this is only the start of what the medical fascists have in store for Americans and the rest of the world. Those who refuse Donald Trump's Operation Warp Speed Needles will increasingly face persecution at the hands of the medical deep state. We are already seeing this with some employers that are attempting to make getting injected a condition of employment. To be clear, this is all a bipartisan effort. Both Democrats and Republicans are pushing Americans to get jabbed, using all kinds of tricks and schemes as bait. Nearly every one of the seven deadly sins, from free donuts, gluttony, to vaccine lotteries, greed, is now on the table to convince as many as possible to get injected. Students, however, often do not have a choice. They are being told, just like they are at West Point, to either get injected or be punished. Americans need to take a stand and protect our youth from this egregious medical fascism before it's too late. Quote, sadly, the military is absolutely lost to the woke cancel culture, wrote one commenter at CD Media. He went on to say this vaccine tyranny is just another reminder that Americans have lost the protection of the Constitution, unquote. Another one wrote, my son-in-law, U.S. Army, has been told by base leaders that there are no passes or leave granted for those not vaccinated. Our Army commanders have reportedly prevented unvaccinated from using chow halls and gyms. And continuing on now, the health ranger, Mike Adams, of naturalnews.com, did some pungent editorializing, hitting the target squarely in May when he wrote this. The medical dictatorship has arrived. You are living in it right now. Big Pharma, global death machine, now controls the media, big tech, universities, medical journals, and the entire field of medicine. Their instruments of death, bio-weaponized COVID vaccine injections, are distributed right to your local pharmacy down the road. And they are carrying out nationwide mass murder in every pharmacy in the nation in broad daylight. The Nazis couldn't have dreamed of such an efficient extermination machine. Now, Big Pharma and its complicit collaborators have delivered it in 2021. If you ever wondered how the Nazis rose to power and garnered so much support from the German people, just look around you. Walk into a corner pharmacy and see the death injections being administered each and every day. Talk to any mainstream doctor, and they'll insist that you take the death shot. visit any morgue and you will find an accelerating number of dead bodies, but none of them will be labeled as deaths from vaccines. Fact, VAERS is now reporting a nearly 4,000% increase in vaccine deaths in 2021 so far, versus the entire year of 2020. The vaccine holocaust is here, and all the propagandists, journalists, doctors, pharmacists, corporations, are complicit in the mass death agenda. They've all signed up to be good little medical Nazis, and though their own lives may be extinguished from the vaccine, they feel as if they are part of something powerful and important for the world, just like what the Nazis felt when they were recruited to exterminate millions of Jews. Except now, we're all the Jews. We're all being targeted. We're all being threatened and scolded if we don't participate in that Joseph Mengele mad medical experiment known as COVID vaccines. And only the wise and courageous will survive all this. Don't sacrifice your life to the criminally insane doctors, pharmacists, and propagandists who are running the vaccine holocaust. And you might just live through this global genocide.
Important words, Lou, and we're in this program, Police State and Pushback at the Divided Kingdom. And please tell others prayerfully, think about your pastors, your friends, your relatives. There are still some people who can be saved physically, spiritually. Tell them to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com, and listen in our archives to the important May-June programs. And if you would like to help us with a little bit of cash, a money order, a few postage stamps, or a check that can only be written out to WWCR, you can send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28. It's to Lou Caverly at Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And, Lou, you didn't have the last word, it seems, on the West Point vaccine tyranny situation. Now we have sort of an ostracized Chaz, you know, but it's not an autonomous zone because the people in it didn't choose to build it. But this thing, this kind of Chaz, is being forced on the cadets. And this is an article from The Defender, and of course that's from childrenshealthdefense.org, June 8, 2021. Unvaccinated cadets at West Point forced to live in tent for summer training. Parents of cadets at the U.S. Military Academy report leadership is forcing 37 unvaccinated cadets to live in a single tent for cadet field training during the months of June and July. And again, this was by Pam Long at The Defender. Parents of Army cadets at the U.S. Military Academy report the Academy's leadership is forcing 37 unvaccinated cadets to live in a tent designed for 20 people during the Academy's June and July cadet field training program. Lou, did you hear that? It's designed for 20, but 37 will be sardine packed in it. And again, it goes on, cadet field training is a summer training requirement in which selected firsties, seniors, and COWs, juniors, lead yearlings, sophomores, in small unit tactical operations. Now, we don't know. This is Elizabeth speaking for sure, but I would think these are some of the select top people. And what does the New World Order always want to do? It wants to ruin the patriotic leaders, the future. The children are being harmed. We brought out how the little two-year-old died in, I think, the Pfizer trial. And, Lou, you now heard that Pfizer is trying to push to have all of the five-year-olds inoculated by, what, fall, early fall, I think?
I didn't see a date, but definitely they want to do it soon.
Yeah. Now, of course, a five-year-old isn't quite as horrific as a two-year-old dying, but still, you know, we don't like to see this. We really do not like to see it in any way. So back to this article about this little Chaz set up there in the one tent. Vaccinated cadets will live in open bay barracks by platoons with a small separate section for female cadets. The barracks have electricity for fans during the hot summer months in New York and separate male and female latrines and showers. unvaccinated cadets now live in a mixed-rank co-ed tent. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, prohibits any entity or employer from mandating an emergency use authorization product, which includes all COVID vaccines being administered in the U.S. The law applies to the military unless it is granted a presidential waiver. In the case of COVID mRNA vaccines, the U.S. Department of Defense's, that's DOD, Inspector General newsletter has publicly upheld this longstanding FDA policy, which means West Point is violating federal law by enacting a de facto mandate. West Point leadership has a duty to uphold federal law. Furthermore, the Nuremberg Code enumerated in detail that medical interventions cannot be coerced and that doctors must offer treatment alternatives with established safety and efficiency, or rather this word is efficacy, to any experimental drug. Military vaccine exemption policy accepts proof of natural immunity from prior infection in lieu of vaccination. Overall, only 139 of 4,000 cadets in the Corps have not been vaccinated, according to documents obtained by military freedom keepers. And herd immunity has been achieved at 97%, far exceeding the recommended 60% or more. Naturally acquired immunity in populations to protect the elderly and infants. West Point's departure from science-based health policy raises questions about ethics. Will healthy, unvaccinated cadets live in tents in the winter? Will officers and enlisted personnel also be removed from housing to live in tents? Or does this discriminatory segregation policy apply only to cadets? According to the latest policy, unvaccinated cadets must also wear masks, which could undermine cohesion in the ranks. It would be illegal to require service members with other infectious diseases to add an additional item to their uniforms that would single them out on the basis of a medical issue. One officer at West Point, who did not want to be named, described how he was aggressively counseled on his supervisor's intent to be merciless about reprimanding any mask-wearing violations. The unvaccinated officer also must keep his office door closed, despite everyone else in his department being vaccinated. And he was required to physically enter the vaccination site on post and sign a DOD refusal form. The officer told us a list of names of all the unvaccinated at West Point. Cadets and staff were leaked to the public. The list was leaked to the public.
A more rational policy approach to achieving herd immunity should include antibody testing or T-cell testing. The military immunization exemption guidance includes administrative, religious, and medical exemptions. Permanent exemptions clearly indicate a serologic antibody test is evidence of existing immunity for vaccine exemption. And in this situation, blood tests should be offered to every cadet, along with vaccine contraindication screening. Quote, permanent exemptions may be granted indefinitely based on one of the following: HIV infection, prolonged or permanent immune suppression, determination by a medical provider that further vaccination will seriously endanger patient's health, medical reactive exemption, previously severe reaction after specific vaccine, for example, anaphylaxis, medical immune exemption. Evidence of existing immunity, for example, by serologic antibody test, documentation of previous infection, or natural infection presumed, unquote. Despite this official guidance, a cadet who did not want to be named told us Colonel Laura Dawson, a West Point medical officer, has scolded unvaccinated cadets and referred to them as, quote, grandma killers and science deniers, unquote, instead of providing them with informed consent and accepting their right to refuse an experimental drug. Another officer at West Point, who also did not want to be named, provided two reports accusing Dawson of conduct unbecoming an officer, both involving class of 2021 cadets who waited until after May graduation to initiate Inspector General complaints. In one pending complaint against Dawson, a male cadet with a painful hernia alleged Dawson refused him medical treatment because he was unvaccinated, leading him to comply and receive the vaccine. The alleged threat to withhold medical treatment occurred despite the fact that other cadets who tested positive for COVID received surgeries. An unvaccinated female...
Lou, yes. I have to interrupt. At a higher level, this is just as bad as those Gestapo goons in Dallas going around to the bars and taking advantage of the people who were too drunk to resist.
Yes.
This is really disgusting. And we would call upon our president to set a better tone than this in our military.
Absolutely. He's the commander-in-chief, so it all comes back to him ultimately.
That's right.
And one, an unvaccinated female cadet who had a severe case of COVID resulting in her personal long-term physician recommending against the vaccine due to a possible heart contraindication. Alleged Dawson threatened to recommend she not be allowed to graduate because she was, quote, medically weak, unquote. The cadet, who was 3 days from graduation, refused the vaccine after seeking additional counsel on her rights. The Inspector General needs to investigate these allegations by recent graduates, including complaints filed by parents of active cadets who are reluctant to file complaints for fear of retaliation.
It's so important. Our title of this program, Police State and Pushback, people are getting aroused. The great masses are getting angry. I think that the New World Order is going to have to pay attention sooner than later. Go ahead, Lou.
Parents who asked not to be named of a cadet in the segregation tent said it, quote, goes against the honor of cadets, unquote, for West Point leadership to allow Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, HIPAA, privacy violations to mark unvaccinated people with a mask to, quote, separate and single out, unquote, to promote a climate of intimidation and humiliation, and to affirm the experimental drug is voluntary and push the only choice is to accept it. Some parents said they are concerned about Dawson's agenda after reports she allegedly told unvaccinated cadets that she, quote, can't wait to jam it into their arms, unquote. These are adults who are qualified to make their own medical decisions and who are now medical refugees held hostage to the ideology of a West Point medical officer. West Point leadership needs to immediately conduct a risk assessment on the segregation policy for cadets, including the impact on morale and mental health. Members of the public can demand an investigation, oversight, and accountability by sending their concerns to the West Point Inspector General and to their U.S. representatives and senators.
And now we move a little bit to another area of the police state. This is the police state of the future, coming soon, unless once again we all stand strong against such a hypothetical type of nightmare. Meet your automated totalitarian medical police state future. Johns Hopkins demands AI robots and drones enforce COVID vaccine war against humanity. This was Natural News, Mike Adams, May 6, 2021. Imagine a fleet of CDC drones hovering near your home, sniffing the air for COVID particles by using onboard PCR testing equipment. Using a CT setting of 45, the drones report that your front porch tests positive for COVID. Yet there's no record that you have a vaccine passport at your reported address recorded in a government database. Within seconds, an AI-powered cyborg humanoid robot arrives at your address in a driverless vehicle. It walks to your front door, knocks aggressively, and announces in a robotic voice, "This is the CDC Rapid Response Team. Have you been vaccinated?" This is the future envisioned by the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, as described in a new report entitled, "Technologies to Address Global Catastrophic Biological Risks." Once the CDC cyborg breaks in your front door and captures you by force, you will be injected with a self-spreading vaccine that Johns Hopkins describes as. Self-spreading vaccines are genetically engineered to move through populations like communicable diseases, but rather than causing disease, they confer protection. The vision is that a small number of individuals in a target population could could be vaccinated, and the vaccine strain would then circulate in the population, much like a pathogenic virus, resulting in rapid, widespread immunity. Of course, when they say immunity, they mean extermination. Immunity is now the new code word for mass depopulation via weaponized vaccines.
The report even suggests that vaccines could be hidden inside bacteria that are taken orally. For instance, these covert vaccines could be hidden in food supplies or medication pills. As explained by Johns Hopkins, bacteria can be genetically engineered to produce antigens in a human host acting as a vaccine, which triggers immunity to pathogens of concern. The same report touts the benefits of, quote, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, unquote, which are essentially self-replicating vaccines that can never be stopped because they continue to multiply in the population completely without any controls or boundaries. Johns Hopkins authors celebrate the idea of how the SAM vaccine create a viral, and this is in quotes, a viral replicase for intracellular amplification of the vaccine, unquote, allowing the SAM to self-replicate and infect others. Nowhere in the report are any risks of such dangerous self-replicating technologies ever mentioned. It's as if the very idea of the precautionary principle is now verboten in the post-COVID world of science gone mad. The same report also touts the idea of molecular 3D printers, which can churn out spike protein bioweapons in remote locations, instantly spreading antigens, and that's in quotes, antigens, which are actually bioweapons, to presumably vaccinate remote populations that try to escape the vaccine mandates of the cities. Run to the hills, but the CDC drones, equipped with thermal cameras to find humans, will still find you and vaccinate you. Johns Hopkins also wants satellite networks to spy on backyard gardens to spot illegal food production operations, no doubt dispatching drones with glyphosate sprayers to exterminate such illegal gardens. The food supply must be made, quote-unquote, safe by government centralization and control. Didn't you know? Backyard gardens are dirty, and maybe even a health hazard, they say. There is a chart from the Johns Hopkins report revealing how they're going to cash in on each of the technologies to mass murder billions of human beings. Ethan Huff. I'm sorry, that's right. Ethan Huff's next interior article headline is this: technology is used to enslave and destroy humanity, not to empower anyone other than criminally insane government control freaks. This is the vision of the future that now typifies the criminally insane scientists, doctors, and medical lunatics who are running the COVID vaccine holocaust. There are no longer any ethical limits to their desire for mass death and power over all the survivors. No amount of surveillance is considered too great. No degree of intervention is too dangerous. No pause is ever entertained. This is mad science, driven by the criminally insane, seeking total domination over all humanity, no matter what the cost to freedom or civility. In the name of halting pandemics, that's in quotes, in the name of halting pandemics, they spread them. Then they use the crisis to enslave humankind under their totalitarian medical regimes. Technology is never deployed to increase freedom, prevent disease, improve the quality of life, or empower truth-tellers. Rather, every piece of technology they can get their hands on is deployed to crush human freedom, destroy human lives, and silence dissent. They want humanity to be sick, weak, and starving. Only then can they drive people into the COVID concentration camps and vaccine death agendas that will fulfill their globalist goals of mass extinction.
Yes, Lou. Drones, AI-powered cyborg humanoid robots. In addition to those futuristic things in the Johns Hopkins report, we've heard allegations on the internet. At this point, it's somewhat anecdotal. It's about people who have been vaccinated with the COVID vaccines, and they find that magnets stick to their arms. And again, we can't confirm any real evidence at this time. But I think we should be aware that people are saying this. And we had a listener, Jim, email us. And here are a few quotes from his recent alert. Unfortunately, I got my second vaccination shot about 3 weeks ago, Moderna, and had a pretty nasty reaction, fever, chills for a day, followed by weeks of low energy and brain fog. A couple of days ago, I was telling a friend about my experience, and she told me she had heard about the magnets. I thought it sounded silly, but I had some small neodymium, pretty strong magnets. And to my dismay, they did indeed stick to my arm around the injection site, but nowhere else on my body. Mainstream news outlets are only making jokes about it. And he goes on to say that he has found another person, one other person he knows, who had this magnet effect. And so Jim asked us to make you all aware of this, and so we have. And since he said he listens to our program, we are really surprised and saddened he took the shot. We wish him the best. So that kind of concludes that part. And we move on now. Lou, you have something important.
We do, yes. This is entitled "The Same Pattern Everywhere: Mass Vaccinations Triggering Spike in COVID Deaths." This article is by Mike Whitney from UNZ.com, May 2021. COVID cases have risen sharply in nearly every country that has launched a mass vaccination campaign. Why is this happening? Mass vaccination was supposed to reduce the threat of COVID, but in the short term, it appears to make it much worse. Why? And why is COVID now, quote, surging in four of the five most vaccinated countries, according to Forbes magazine? And another quote from Forbes says, countries with the world's highest vaccination rates, including four of the top five most vaccinated, are fighting to contain coronavirus outbreaks that are, on a per capita basis, higher than the surge devastating India, a trend that has had experts questioning the efficacy of some vaccines and the wisdom of easing restrictions even with most of the population vaccinated, unquote. Worse than India, how can that be? And why have eight so-called fully vaccinated members of the New York Yankees tested positive for COVID? Here's a story from the Associated Press. From NBC News, New York Yankee shortstop Gleyber Torres tested positive for COVID-19 despite being fully vaccinated and having previously contracted the coronavirus during the offseason. Torres is among eight so-called breakthrough positives among the Yankees, people who tested positive despite being fully vaccinated, unquote. And continuing, and if that's not confusing enough, check out what's going on in Cambodia. Cambodia began its vaccination campaign in early February after having compiled zero, get that, zero fatalities. That's right. The country had no COVID deaths until March, a few weeks after it started its vaccination program. And that's when the deaths started piling up, as you can see in the eye-popping chart below. Well, the chart is a simple graph. The line showing the number of deaths is horizontal at zero, all the way up to, as they said, March. And then it sort of skyrockets, much like an exponential kind of curve. Continuing with the article, so let's see if we can figure this out. There were zero fatalities before the launching of the vaccination campaign, but soon after the injections began, the fatalities started to mount. Do you think there might be a connection here? Do you think that perhaps the deaths are linked to the vaccines? Of course they are. And that's why the media is trying to sweep this story under the rug. It doesn't fit with the official narrative about the vaccines. So they've decided to vanish the story altogether. Poof, and it's gone. And actually, it's worse than a cover-up because shortly after Biden took office, the CDC changed its testing methodology, making it harder to test positive. In other words, they rigged the system so it would look like fewer fully vaccinated people had contracted COVID after inoculation. Dr. Joseph Mercola explains what's going on behind the scenes. And this is from Mercola.com. Now, and this is in quotes, now the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has lowered the CT even further in what appears to be a clear effort to hide COVID-19 breakthrough cases, meaning cases in which fully vaccinated individuals are being diagnosed with COVID-19, unquote. It's all a big shell game. They're gaming the system to make it look like the vaccines are stopping infection when the evidence proves the opposite. And notice the deliberately misleading moniker the media invented for the people who get COVID after being vaccinated. They call them breakthrough cases. Breakthrough? Really? If cases surge in nearly every country that launches a mass vaccination campaign, then there's nothing breakthrough about it. It's the predictable result of a failed experiment. Here's more from an article titled COVID Rates Post-Vaccination Around the World. Quote, the government assumed that if you vaccinate lots of people, and the problem goes away. But the questioners among us did not assume that, especially after having read the FDA briefing document for the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, for example. Many of us had questions after reading it. On page 42, that document states this. Suspected COVID-19 cases that occurred within 7 days after any vaccination were 409 in the vaccination group versus 287 in the placebo group. It is possible that the imbalance in suspected COVID-19 cases occurring in the 7 days post-vaccination represents vaccine reactogenicity with symptoms that overlap with those of COVID-19. Overall, though, these data do not raise a concern that protocols specified reporting of suspected but unconfirmed COVID-19 cases could have been or could have masked clinically significant adverse events that would not otherwise have been detected. That's from COVID Rates Post-Vaccination Around the World, Inform Scotland. WTF?
So the FDA knew that vaccinated people were more likely to contract COVID than those in the placebo group, but they approved the vaccines anyway. Is that criminal negligence or just plain old stupidity? Please read that above paragraph again and decide whether you would have given these sketchy injections the green light or not. Here's more from the same article. The following show data from around the world from some selected locations. It is, of course, vital to stress that correlation is not causation and that there are countries where vaccine rollout does not precede or coincide with increased infections. However, I've been unable to find any nation where COVID rates have begun to drop after vaccination started. And we would point out there that we watched Western Pennsylvania closely and the rates picked up of the COVID after vaccination. We have seen it in Maryland, too. Although right now, Maryland seems to be tapering off gradually. And, of course, there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy here now. So there are a lot of factors. So back to this person saying he's been unable to find any nation where the COVID rates have begun to drop after vaccination started or where a drop coincided with vaccination starting. In Indonesia, for example, the COVID rate was falling when vaccination started and seems to have been unaffected in its trajectory by the vaccine being rolled out. The reader can look up these charts for him or herself on the website. Have a look at these and see what you make of them. Okay, so the author is trying to put the most charitable spin on vaccine performance as possible. He says, correlation is not causation, which means don't trust your eyes when you look at the charts, because if you do, you'll draw the obvious conclusion that the vaccines greatly increase your chances of getting COVID in the few weeks afterwards. The charts will also convince you that Fauci, Biden, and the media have been lying through their teeth about the effectiveness of the vaccines. Please check out the charts in the article and judge for yourself. Here's more. What is very clear, looking at data worldwide, is that vaccinations are certainly not associated with a reliable fall in COVID cases in any predictable time frame. This, alongside the observations in the trial, surely must be addressed. What is happening here? Is it just that vaccinations are coincidentally being rolled out at the same time as outbreaks are due in very many places? Or is the vaccine not working immediately? If not, why not? Or is the vaccine making people more susceptible to infection? If that is the case, is this a temporary effect? What causes it? How long does it take for any increased susceptibility to diminish? We are told that everyone must be vaccinated. How can free informed consent be given under these conditions? These are all good questions. Unfortunately, Dr. Fauci and company don't plan to answer any of them. Instead, their allies in the media are doing everything they can to disappear the story, deflect attention to the elusive variants. And, you know, we could go on. There's much more in that article. But we're getting the gist of this very much. At the same time, this story about the NIH and Fauci and the emails that are being leaked. But as Lou said, they're somewhat diverting us from the top of the pyramid who has planned all of this mass depopulation. But better that people wake up a little bit, Lou. I think we're going to move right on now to the next topic, but we conclude this by at least saying here that medical professionals and scientists think the danger is significant enough to demand that the mass vaccination program be temporarily terminated.
Well, next we have an article entitled Nursing Home Out Experiencing Large Disease Outbreaks Due to COVID Vaccination. And this is by Ethan Huff, Natural News, Friday, June 4th. Residents of nursing homes where Wuhan coronavirus vaccines have been widely administered are suddenly coming down in droves with Chinese virus infection, which the mainstream media is already referring to using the word outbreak. Even though every resident and worker in many cases had already gotten jabbed, new cases of the Wuhan flu are reportedly emerging like wildfire all across the country. This has caused many branch COVIDians who believe the injections would save us all from the scourge of Chinese germs to scratch their heads in confusion. If the government is to be believed, then getting injected with a Wuhan flu shot should have cured everyone already and brought about the new normal. Instead, there is now more disease than ever before in many elderly care facilities where Chinese virus needles have already been plunged into every arm. The mainstream media, of course, is already trying to blame the unvaccinated for these outbreaks, even though every individual coming down with and spreading Chinese disease was already vaccinated. This must be the bizarre new logic that goes along with the new normal. According to the official numbers, 472 nursing home deaths that occurred during the first 2 weeks of May are being attributed to COVID. This is down from 10,675 COVID deaths in the same population during the first 2 weeks of January. The medical establishment is struggling to come up with some kind of narrative for this quote-unquote anomaly, refusing to acknowledge the fact that Wuhan coronavirus vaccines, and more specifically the spike proteins they contain, are what is spreading this new wave of Chinese disease. As expected, the government is trying to make the case that unvaccinated people are somehow responsible for all the sickness and death spreading among the vaccinated. Ironically, this claim, if true, only proves that COVID vaccines do not work as claimed. If they did, then vaccinated people would not be contracting the Chinese virus from the unvaccinated.
And Lou, I think we will cut that article short.
All right.
Get right back to the police state. And we're moving now to Houston Methodist Hospital. You have something about it, and I have something about it. I guess I'll pick up the story first.
All right.
The headline at Natural News, Tuesday, June 8th. Houston Methodist Hospital orders staff to withhold adverse reactions caused by COVID vaccines from official records. Jennifer Bridges, a nurse at Houston Methodist Hospital, has come forward with more information about her employer's criminal attempts at suppressing the truth about the dangers of Wuhan coronavirus vaccines. Bridges told Dell Bigtree during a recent episode of The High Wire that she and her co-workers at Houston Methodist are now forbidden from logging any adverse reactions to China virus injections on the company's official records. Every time a nurse or another employee comes out with an adverse reaction, they basically tell them in the ER, no, it's not an adverse reaction. This is just an intolerance. and they don't report it properly, and they don't address it properly, Bridges explained. And I've actually been in contact with somebody in the hospital system that deals with, like, the charting and the finalization of people's charts. They have told me that officially, Methodist has told him, do not list any adverse reactions on anybody's chart related to the vaccine. Houston Methodist was also in the news recently for a lawsuit that was filed by at least 112 of its employees who say they are being unlawfully coerced and threatened into getting jabbed as a condition of employment. People are being told to not talk about this, not address it, and not label it on charts, Bridges says about Houston Methodist's fascist behavior. As employees, we have to go to the system and document these adverse reactions because Methodist is not doing it. And so now I think that there's more that Lou has about this tyranny. Go ahead, Lou.
That's right, we do. And this article was from Fox News by Bree Stimson. More than 170 Houston hospital workers suspended over refusing vaccine. The employees will be fired after 2 weeks if they don't get vaccinated. More than 170 healthcare workers at a Houston, Texas hospital were reportedly suspended for 2 weeks without pay this week for choosing to not get the coronavirus vaccine by the hospital's Monday deadline, which the hospital requires of its workers. The employees will be fired after the 2 weeks if they don't get vaccinated, Fox 4 in Dallas reported. Houston Methodist Hospital President and CEO Mark Boom said that 99% of its more than 25,000 workers have been vaccinated by the deadline. He said, quote, it is unfortunate that today's milestone of Houston Methodist becoming the safest hospital system in the country is being overshadowed by a few disgruntled employees. And he said that in a statement to KHOU-TV in Houston. Boom announced that announced the suspensions in an internal memo obtained by the Washington Post on Tuesday. He continued, I know that today may be difficult for some who are sad about losing a colleague who's decided to not get vaccinated. Boom wrote in a memo, we only wish them well and thank them for their past service to our community, and we must respect the decision they made. Dozens of workers protested outside of the hospital Monday after being notified of their suspensions, according to the Texan. They can't control us out here, Nurse Jennifer Bridges, a leader of the workers choosing not to be vaccinated, told the Houston Press during the protest. I'm tired of being controlled, and I'm tired of people trying to tell me what to do. Nurse Pierre Chaland told the newspaper, I wouldn't risk losing my job for not getting the flu shot, but this one is different. A large crowd gathered in support of the unvaccinated workers Monday, Fox 4 reported. A former employee, Betsy Larson, said, just to think that these girls and all of these healthcare workers have worked through a pandemic, and now you are going to fire them because they just want to wait and see what the vaccine does? I think that's wrong. The hospital gave exemptions to 285 employees for religious and medical reasons, and 332 received deferrals, including for pregnancy, according to the Post. At least 117 employees filed a lawsuit against the hospital last month, claiming the employer can't force employees to get the experimental vaccine.
So important. Police State and Pushback Part 1 is tonight. Tell others to tune in. And you notice there are no commercials. We're really trying to warn you as watchmen called by God. And again, tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. And if you would like to help us, send something to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We have a little time to look carefully at this article, Corruption, COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines Instruct Your Cells to Clog Your Blood with Protein Prions That Inflame the Heart While Suffocating the Brain, by S.D. Wells, Natural News, June 8, 2021. Adverse events and side effects from COVID vaccines include heart inflammation, blood clots, vision changes, blindness, abnormal or total loss of ability to smell and taste, confusion, balance issues, passing out, severe headache, and dysphagia. Coincidentally, these are all symptoms of a transient ischemic attack, mini stroke, or TIA, that occurs when blood flow to specific parts of the brain gets obstructed. The health detriment from COVID vaccines is nearly identical to stroke symptoms, and the results can include permanent disabilities, including death. Yes, death is a permanent disability. One in every three people who experience a mini stroke will experience a full-blown stroke later on, and the proteins and prions that are created in the body from the mRNA COVID jab have caused a tsunami of TIAs all over the world. Many victims of COVID inoculations are suffering dysphagia, like China Joe Biden, where you find yourself temporarily unable to speak, then having trouble saying words and understanding others' verbiage. That's because TIAs are caused by blood clots occurring in the dominant brain hemisphere. When blood vessels get clogged, the heart must work much harder than normal to pump blood through the body and try to get past the clots. mRNA-created protein and prions clinging to walls of blood vessels. The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine has already been linked to heart inflammation per health authorities and scientists doing research in Israel. In less than 6 days after their second dose of the deadly vaccination, 275 cases of myocarditis, inflamed heart, have already been documented. There are also documented cases in the United States of blood clots forming on the lungs. In the lungs after COVID inoculations. Go figure. Israel and USA now targeting teens and preteens 12 to 15 years old with heart inflaming injections. If a medicine or vaccine is proving to create deadly side effects, why not push it on teens and children who aren't even threatened by the virus it addresses? And we move down to get the next headline in the interior of this article. Pfizer is blaming COVID-19, of course, because viruses can cause myocarditis. But isn't the whole goal of inoculations to prevent catching the virus? The blame game is the number one cover story for the vaccine industrial complex when things go south fast. You have to be anti-science to believe that vaccines are safe and effective, because there is no science proving that. And we would interject here that, yes, there is the spike protein of the COVID-19 virus itself. But we have to remember that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for COVID has spike proteins in it that are in the inoculation. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines instead put in the mRNA, which reprograms, you see, and can help the body build spike proteins. So there is very little difference between COVID-19 itself and the vaccine. In fact, it looks like the vaccine is an enhanced disease creator, doesn't it, Lou?
It most certainly does.
In your opinion?
Yes.
We're not medical experts, but we can read a lot and we can think a lot. And so this article says, have a careful listen to the most important whistleblower possibly ever. Introducing virus researcher and COVID-19 vaccine expert virologist, Dr. Byram Bridle, who may just be responsible for saving millions or even billions of lives by telling the truth about vax clot disorder, blood clotting caused directly by mRNA inoculations. And again, that doctor's name is Dr. Byram, capital B-Y-R-A-M, capital B-R-I-D-L-E. You wanted scientific proof that the COVID vaccines are dirty, dangerous, and deadly? Listen to one of the world's top experts who helped develop the COVID-19 inoculations. Tune your internet frequency to pandemic news for updates on these crimes against humanity being delivered under the guise of inoculation. And so we're here telling you that if you haven't had the vaccine, you might want to pray very, very much about it. And we can recall on a program maybe about 2 weeks back, 2 to 3 weeks, there were these three women, these unforgettable women, who after the vaccines were taken went into these whole body convulsions all the time practically. And one of them, it was many months later, this had not stopped. And there they are. They have no job. They have no future. They're ruined. But God can always help in any situation. And the reason we're still coming to you is to give you warnings and to witness that Jesus Christ is real, unlike Buddha, a dead god, an idol god, or all of those Indian gods Krishna, all of them, whoever they are, we never saw that Christianity demanded the sacrifice of a young boy, like still happened. One of the tabloids documented in the 1990s, there was a boy sacrificed to one of those Indian gods. We've never seen that. That's not what Christianity is. Jesus said, let the little ones come to him. And we remember what he said, too, about the millstone, that if you harm these little ones. And he said the way to get to heaven, you see, the kingdom of heaven was like what these little children are like. And I think that means an innocent trust in the Lord. And, of course, as adults, we're not so innocent. We have to repent. And we have to come to our knees and tell Jesus that we believe he is our Savior and ask him to forgive our sins. And he will do it. But Jesus said specifically that these little children, if you harm them, it would be better that you had a millstone put around your neck, see, and you were drowned. It would be better because we believe hell is real and we cannot imagine eternal agony, burning. You know, as a human being, my father looked at me one time and he said, you've suffered more than a human being has a right to suffer. And he was a pretty pragmatic guy, wasn't he, Lou?
Very much so.
He didn't exaggerate. He wasn't overly emotional. He just looked at me and he said that. And I was thinking the other day that we have now been in a year of this kind of a basic lockdown. No matter what our situation is, life has been rather hard on many of us, physically and emotionally, for 1 year. But I suddenly remembered the 18 months that I had Lyme disease, in which I was too sick, minute by minute, too crippled. Sometimes there was acute, terrible pain from my swollen knees pulling on my back. But sometimes there was just an overall sickness for 18 months. I couldn't even read a pile of magazines during that time that had accumulated. So when I think about that and I think, what must it be like in hell? You know, you want to tell others, witness that Jesus Christ is real and he is your friend. That's the most important message. But the other messages are very, very important. So we do thank you for listening. We thank those few of you who helped us lately and wrote us such interesting letters. Somebody was figuring out the entomology, which is it, Lou? No, etymology. Isn't it? Etymology,
yeah.
Of the word COVID. Very interesting letter. So we just ask the Lord to watch over you all. God bless you. Good night.